Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 78th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And it's now 2015, if you're listening to this, so Happy New Year. We've got a great year of interviews coming up, and we've got want to start one out right now. Is it... tongue-tied today. Must be all the wine I drank on New Year's.
Yeah, in advance. So
anyway,
as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversation and hearing about all the different things that stuck out to you as listeners. We are so excited to welcome this week's guest, who is Heatherly Chambers. She is a former classroom teacher who is now the Classroom Champions Education Development Manager. So, Heatherly, thank you for coming on with us today.
Hi, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at HLEPNW for Heatherly of the Pacific Northwest.
Love it. Well, Heatherly, the way we always love to start our interviews is just kind of hearing a little bit about your journey and how you got into education to become a teacher.
Oh, it was kind of a roundabout path for me. I was a kid who loved school, and I wanted desperately to be a teacher when I was a little girl. And like a lot of kids that are really good students and show a lot of intelligence, they discouraged that. They wanted me to go on to a very ambitious career. My grandfather was voting for me being a veterinarian. My grandmother wanted me to be a lawyer. I had teachers try and encourage me toward architecture. And so I set out to earn a degree in journalism. And I earned a degree in journalism from the University of Oregon and was an award-winning investigative reporter and a sports reporter. And my last year of college, I went and volunteered at a school and thought, well, snap, I still really want to be a teacher. And so I worked for an attorney for a year, which was mind-opening. And then, and he encouraged me, even after I had already applied for graduate school to be a teacher, he said he would stake me through law school if I would be his partner. And wow. I turned him down and became a teacher. And during almost 20 years in the classroom, I taught everything from pre-K to 8th grade and taught mainly in low-income schools in an urban area here in Portland, just right in the city. A lot of first-generation Americans, a lot of recent immigrants, and just a lot of everything, just a wide swath of humanity. And it was a pleasure. I really, really loved being a classroom teacher.
You know, it's funny how many people, Chris and I say this so often, that we interview on this show, that education was not their first path when they got into it. And they just, through some series of events, were found out that that was just where their love was, and then they become those exceptional teachers. I mean, there's also those people who they know they want to be a teacher forever, and that's the first thing they go into, and they're great too. But it's just funny to me, as we do these interviews, how many people did not start out in education and did not think that was a path that they were going to be taking.
I think that the background in journalism made me an observer in a different way from other people that I knew when I was in the classroom. So when kids came to me and they were not, you know, your middle of the bell curve people, you know, those outside of the bell curve kids, which were really my passion because I was an outlier. And so I became a teacher specifically to advocate for and to connect with the other outliers in the world, you know, during the school years. So I would look at that very differently than other people who were trying to figure out what way we could serve a child that wasn't, you know, the same portion we were given to everybody else. And I think working for the attorney, I was one of the few people I knew who could actually, like, make a copy machine do anything I wanted it to do, including stand up and salute. So those kind of office skills, like, that just makes your life so much easier in the classroom because you're not swearing at the photocopier for 2 hours after school, you know?
Sure, sure. When did you know you were ready to step outside the classroom? And I guess, like, what are some pros and cons of that decision, that big decision that you had to make?
Well, you know, for me, I was not somebody who, again, I was an outlier when I applied for Classroom Champions because I'm such an Olympics fan. My husband named our oldest child after a Finnish gold medalist who was a ski jumper. We don't ski. Like, we're the Olympic fans. We picked out our daughter's name really loved the name, and then researched to figure out which Olympians shared that name.
That's awesome.
Like, we're in the middle of adopting, and we're like, we got to give her a middle name that maybe, you know, might be an Olympian. Like, that's a serious conversation at our table. You know? So, awesome. I mean, we clean the house, like, company is coming. We do a big grocery shop, like, there's going to be a snowstorm. And then we don't answer the phone for 2 weeks when the games are on. Like, my DVR just blew up, and I lost the Sochi coverage that I have been hoarding since last February. It's very disappointing. So,
wow.
We're those Olympic fans. So I followed Steve Mesler on Twitter, you know, through kind of a string of events after the games and in Vancouver. And he was tweeting about this organizational education that he was starting that would bring an Olympian mentor to your classroom for grades 3 through 8. And I was teaching kindergarten at the time. And my husband's like, you should apply for this. And my longtime work wife, my teaching partner for more than a decade, says, well, clearly he means you, even though you teach kindergarten. So I wrote an essay for my application that talked about how I had watched the Vancouver Games with my 5-year-olds at school. And I'm a huge short track skating fan because Apollo Ono's just from like 2 hours up I-5, so he's practically local. The kids dressed up in bandanas and little felt soul patches and wrote him a fan letter, and I took a picture of him. And I talked about how these kids wanted to know more about the short track team because I'd found pictures of a few of them when they were little boys. And it blew the kids' minds that these little boys on little roller skates, like the adjustable ones, J.R. Selsky had those ones from Fisher-Price with the big yellow wheels. And there's pictures of him as a little boy, and his brothers were racing. They're a lot older than he was. And then the next thing we know, he's won 2 medals in Vancouver. And it made the kids stop and think, like, if I dream something big now, like in this moment in time, if I sacrifice for it and plan for it and I'm hungry for it and I put in the work, I could do it. Like, I could really do it. And you know how sometimes when you're in the classroom, like, there's that stillness. And it's not like the stillness with the crickets where you've completely lost them like 3 paragraphs ago. It's that stillness where, like, almost like there's something happening, like this connection between, you know, you, it's almost like a spiritual thing. And there was that stillness in that moment. And so we backed it up and explored it more, and it turns out that that skate team was basically my class on short track skates. There were first generation Americans, there were kids with learning disabilities, there were people that were bilingual. There were people being raised in single-parent homes. There were kids who were clearly the most energetic in their classroom when they were little boys. If one of them had had a speech impediment, it literally would have been my class on skates. And so I wrote to Steve Mesler and his sister, Dr. Lee Parisi Mesler, Dr. Lee Mesler Parisi, excuse me, who were selecting it. And I wrote to them about how I really wanted a companion in that conversation. That I wanted an Olympian in that conversation who would talk with the kids with me about that process of setting goals, of being hungry for something, for wanting something bigger than the people around you thought were possible. And they looked at it and thought, well, you know, let's give it a try and see what happens. And what happened was the most powerful thing in all of my years in the classroom, you know, to really give kids the mindset and the skills and the conversation and get their parents in the conversation about that mindset of highly accomplished people. And, you know, it's not just telling a kid, oh, anybody can be president. It's teaching them the skills of how to set a goal and how to be perseverant and how to adjust the plan and how to build a support team and how to celebrate when you've accomplish something and how to make that a practice of your life, you know. And it was unbelievably different, you know, to go through that experience as a class. The classes that came through that program with me, their teachers, you know, years later, that first class is now in fourth grade, still are coming back and saying that's a tighter class. They love each other more. They support one another more. They're more respectful of each other. They're willing to try things. They're brave. They allow themselves to fail. And then they look at it like, okay, well, I know that doesn't work. So that eliminates the possibility, and that's a great relief. Now I'm going to go back and try it again. It's a whole different approach to things than had happened with my previous classes. And so then that sent me down the road. Right now I'm reading everything I can get my hands on about excellence. So everything from what made FDR an amazing president, right now I'm reading Neil Patrick Harris's autobiography because he's like at the top of his field. What makes that the way it is? And it, much funnier than FDR, by the way. Totally recommend it. And it's written in that. It's written in the Choose Your Own Adventure. Do you guys remember those books? Like, that's how he wrote his autobiography. So
that's hilarious.
I'm laughing my way through that. I'm reading Wired magazine to try and figure out why the people at the top of the technological fields are the way that they are. I want to know everything about what makes some people really passionate and really accomplished and some people not. And it's interesting.
I want to add to your excellence. There's a an author, blogger, outlier named Tim Ferriss, who you may have heard of. He did the 4-Hour Work Week. Anyway, he's got a podcast out there and he talks with people that from like Tony Robbins to, the CEO of Pixar, and just he talk with these people and he dissects excellence with them. So anyway, it might be something that you'd be interested in. If not, then maybe the listeners may be interested in that. So.
Oh, thank you. I am all over that. So. But to get back to your question, so that was my experience with Classroom Champions. And, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And at the end of the day, I became a teacher because I wanted to build other people. Like, I wanted to be that person to, kind of tap people on the shoulder and say, hey, have you thought that maybe this is possible for you? Or do you realize that you're very capable of that? Or what if you looked at it this way? And, hey, come over here and try this thing. And that's why I became a teacher. I mean, I think all of us, like, if teaching had a bumper sticker for all of us universally, it would be, I build people. And I looked around at Classroom Champions and thought, I've been at this classroom thing for a while. I feel like I might be pretty okay at it. What if I could build teachers that then could build people? And it's not that I'm trying to raise an army or anything, but I want to share what I know, because literally Classroom Champions was the most powerful, amazing, like soul-feeding experience of being a teacher that I'd had. And I really was passionate about creating that for other students and creating it for other people. And when I became the education development manager for Classroom Champions, part of my job is to run workshops and training and professional development for the teachers in the program and help them out with increasing their technology skills, give them background on why we've chosen the topics to address that we address, to support them to do collaborative planning. And one of the things that scared me the most about the job was the fact that until that point, I had spent the last about 10 years teaching people that were too short to ride Space Mountain. And then suddenly, I'm going to be teaching grown-ups. And it absolutely weirded me out until I got on a call with someone who was going to give me some hints for being an effective teacher through a webinar. And he starts talking about, keeping people engaged. And I was like, oh, that I can do. So I can still do the same, give me the thumbs up if that makes sense to you. And just scroll through my people on the webinar. And he goes, oh, that's brilliant. I'm going to write that down. So, once I realized that the same good practices that I had used in my classroom would work over a webcam, I was like, oh, I've got this. And it turns out that, teachers are a really great audience to teach, especially teachers who volunteer to be there. They're the absolute best. I walk away every single time with more resources to share with the rest of the group when I teach teachers. And I'm loving it. So,
Classroom Champions is an organization that I've been involved in too. And for our listeners that are listening, our second interview that we ever did on Edu All Stars was with Steve Messler. So y'all can go back and listen to that to hear a little bit about how Classroom Champions got started. But I think everything you said is such a hitting the nail on the head about what that program can do for kids. And especially with kids in underserved areas and kids that don't have the best role models and don't always have the belief that they can achieve greatness because of the environment they currently have themselves in. So I love that you share that. And, what has been your favorite part so far about being involved with the Classroom Champions organization outside of the classroom?
Oh, well, they don't treat me like I'm weird because I'm such a big Olympic fan. So that's good. And it is a little otherworldly sometimes as the kind of Olympic fan that I am to think like, oh, you know, here's this person again. And blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh my gosh, let me just stop here a minute and say, oh, there's Olympians and they're texting me. Sometimes that's still just such a thrill. But I think one of the things that I've been enjoying lately is, Todd's right, we do take highly accomplished people and bring them into schools that are high needs. And we're, you know, gathering our research and things. But what we're finding when we're doing the research and looking at the data and people that have done a lot of research on the impact of mentors is that a mentor can mitigate high risk factors like living in poverty, or having parents that are working so much that you don't see them, or living in a neighborhood that is high crime, or being somebody that's very transient that's moving from school to school, that a mentor and a close relationship with a person who's in your life daily, like a teacher, can mitigate all of that. Having that person that is your touchstone and having a person who's very invested in you and believes in you and teaches you those skills that have made them successful puts a child who otherwise would have been very high risk on a much different path. And, you know, I've known how connected my students were to our mentors, and our mentors were all Paralympians, and that was a great experience that I'd love to tell you guys about. But I've been helping teachers around North America. We have more than 100 teachers involved in the program, and I've been helping them record their live chats with their athletes because the program works in a way where you introduce your students to their athlete mentor, and then the athlete mentor helps them set goals, and then they talk about fair play, and then they talk about serving in the community and building a strong community in your school and your classroom, and then it's live chat season. And being kind of an eavesdropper on these chats and seeing how much the kids really value that 25 minutes or 30 minutes with this person who is very meaningful to them is so touching. Like, just straight into your heart when you see them, you know, the athlete, the mentor will pop up on the screen and suddenly there's 30 kindergartners somewhere and, you know, 30 second graders clear up in the northern part of Alberta, and they're screaming because they're so excited they get to spend time with their person. And we've had teachers even blogging. One of the chats that I helped with was Sam Effa, who is a track and field athlete from Canada, and he got on with his students, and the teacher said, you know, the kids were so excited to talk to our Sam, that they really call him our Sam. And the athletes will tweet about the chats and say, I was so excited to meet with my kids. And so it's this incredible relationship, and it does me so much good to know that it wasn't just in my classroom, that that's something that all of the teachers who are nurturing that relationship between the mentors and the students get to enjoy being part of that. And how powerful for kids to have that.
Thinking back to when you were in the classroom, how'd you motivate those kids that were maybe unmotivated? Which I'm sure that you maybe never dealt with, but some of us have to deal with that.
Well, that's not a problem in kindergarten, believe it or not. You know, if you can get them invested in it, you know, they really want to do the right thing. At kindergarten, you know, it's not emotionally exhausting necessarily. It's very physically exhausting because they have 15-minute attention spans and you're on your feet all day. I was literally walking like 25,000 steps a day teaching kindergarten, which is why I've, you know, had to be careful about what I'm eating now that I don't want to teach kindergarten anymore. But in the older grades, something that we found, you know, in my school, because some of the other teachers were working, you know, with Classroom Champions lessons off the website, which are free to any teacher that wants to use them. So some of our older students in our middle school, because I taught at a K-8, were using those web resources and going through the lessons. And they said that the experience of setting the goals together and working through the lessons together touched some of their kids who had not ever really felt like they were part of the class. You know, that kids who had had that very transient experience, or kids that for one reason or another were not succeeding in school. They didn't have that good homeschool connection, or they had missed a skill somewhere and they were embarrassed because it continued to be hard for them. that those kids, for the first time, because it's a very personal experience, were able to be brave and connect with their classmates, and also they felt more connected to the teacher and more engaged in school. And that's something that our metrics are showing us when we do beginning of the year surveys with our students and classroom champions and end of the year surveys. We see that there is more engagement in school. We even have anecdotal information that there's better attendance.
So, Heather Lee, is there a book that you're reading right now or one of your favorites that you would recommend to someone else in education?
Besides Neil Patrick Harris's autobiography and whatever vampire romance I'm reading at the moment with all my English professors, I am reading the Growth Mindset book. I've read it in pieces through professional development, through articles, and I'm actually sitting down and reading the book now. And it's very interesting because as a teacher, you can look at it and say, yeah, there's those kids who say already at 7 or 8 years old, oh, I'm just not good at math. And then there's those kids who say, well, I can't figure out how to do this, and that's really intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. And how do you develop that in everybody? And so I'm super interested in that right now. That's something I'm working on. And I picked up a book, a couple books, actually, the other day, and one of them is called Nerds, Who They Are and Why We Need More of Them. So I'm interested to get into that one because clearly a catchy title. That's my outlier people right there. And then I also picked up something after a conversation that I had with one of our teachers in Calgary who works at a science magnet school, and she sent me all these resources for my daughter who's 12 and interested in STEM topics, and she's, you know, she hasn't had teachers that are strong in that so far in her education, and Elaine McCready in Calgary sent me a link of things, and one of them is a TED Talk by a little girl who talks about how to hack your own education. And so I found a book about hacking your education. And I kind of love that because that really goes into the whole idea of I can't do that. It really intrigues me. It kind of follows it up with I don't have the resources for that in my school, but it still intrigues me. So how do I find out more about it? So that's on the bookshelf.
So what do you do to recenter yourself when you've had a really rough day?
Besides eat copious amounts of ice cream and read vampire romance novels. Well, as an Oregonian, I'm morally obligated to be a runner. You know, Tracktown, USA is like an hour 20 from my house. It's where I went to university, down at the University of Oregon. And the Nike Running Project, the Oregon Running Project, is another 40 minutes the other direction from my house. I am eventually going to work my way through the Couch to 5K program. I'm not going to work through it like quickly or gracefully, or nobody's going to want to watch that. But I do feel obligated to run as an Oregonian. Every time I do, like, I love having ran. It's not my favorite thing while I'm in the middle. But that's one of the goals that I've set for myself, is someday I'm going to actually run a whole 5K. So I kind of pick at that a little bit. I did work as a girls on the run running buddy 1 year, and here are the 5K that they do for that, and it's all like women runner mentors and little girls in grade 4 and 5, and we did it before a parade route, and so I'm dragging this poor little girl who has never run more than a mile, so we're pretty well matched actually, she and I. And we get about 5 blocks into it, and she's like, yeah, Mrs. Chambers, I think I'm done. I'm like, no, I don't know how to get us back to the start. We're going to see this through. And for the war, we're not going to get beaten by these 3 people carrying a canoe as their running costume.
That's hilarious.
Off we went. And the next time I did a race, I was 15 minutes faster because I didn't have her. So eventually, I might break 45 minutes.
Oh, so, man.
So what do you think? What do you think one of the biggest challenges in education is right now?
Oh, gosh. I think the one method suits all is a problem. You know, we think that one boxed curriculum is going to meet every child's needs, or we think that one way of assessing kids is going to give us an accurate take on every child in our rich, diverse country. And I don't think that serves people. And I think that when we head down that road, we also take away the fact that teachers are trained professionals that we are trusting with our future. And shouldn't we trust them with that instead of handing them something that's out of a box? The teachers that I know are so passionate and so good at finding this or that resource for this or that kid who isn't fitting that box. And I think it might be okay if we threw out the one method fits all method and really just let teachers find their stride. I think that we would all be better. I think teachers would feel more valued as professionals. I think that we would get kids that feel more engaged in school. I think we would get parents that understand more what's going on. And I think, you know, it shows respect for both the child and the educator.
So when you look back on your career, Heatherly, can you think of one interaction or so with a student or a parent that is one of those kind of things that you're like, oh, that's going to stick with me forever?
So 5 years ago, last month, actually, my wing of my school burned down in the middle of the day. And my class...
In the middle of the school day?
In the middle of the school day. Everybody's at lunch. I was actually in the restroom having had lunch with my dear work wife, and I had some ribs that were injured, and her dad was in the hospital, and I was using the little teacher's room, and I have a hearing disability, so she's banging on the door, and she says, you know, Heatherly, the alarms are going off. I was like, this is the first time I've sat down all day. Just give me a minute. And I come out of the bathroom, and like I can see the flames coming down the hallway in the ceiling, and they're going into my classroom. And the news coverage on my classroom of the whole fire was the roof collapsing onto my desk. I lost absolutely everything in my room, including a bunch of childhood toys, because I had a class that was like great, so they were using some of my old stuff that my kids had outgrown. And, you know, there it is. So our school evacuated. I've never been so happy to see somebody as I was. The local police officer that works with our school, we came around, you know, the corner, and there's Officer Dave. It's like, oh, good, someone's going to take care of all of us. And we had an empty school building that was about a 40-minute bus ride away. And so we ended up relocating our entire school there. And we were very blessed that we weren't broken up and, you know, just sent different ways. They did repair and rebuild our school, although it took 3 years for them to do it.
Wow.
And the first day we were back in school, you know, we had like 36 hours to turn it around. And at this point, you know, my ribs are still hurting and I've gotten a head cold. And I have to put my classroom from zero to ready to teach in 36 hours. And the community embraced us. They put our curriculum on overnight airplanes and flew it to us by charter. The entire community came and emptied out their own basements and their piggy banks. Every single thing in my classroom was a gift. And the first day that we came back to school, I had made some offhanded comment while we were evacuating. Somebody's like, is everything going to go, Mrs. Chambers? And I said, yeah, everything's gone. I'm pretty sure my car keys have melted at this point. And can you smell it? Like, that's everything going. The potato heads are gone. You know, our work is gone. Everything's gone. And because I'd mentioned the potato heads, somehow that made its way around the neighborhood. So that first day when we were back in our temporary building, I look over at my class, and they're lined up ready to go to school, and about half of them are holding the potato heads.
Oh.
And I thought, wow, you know, the little things matter to these guys, and they want something that they know that I was proud of, my Mr. Potato Head collection, and they think that will be a comfort to me. You know, they just got escorted out of a burning building by the lunch ladies. They had to crawl out of the cafeteria, and they're bringing me potato heads.
Wow.
But I thought, you know, those are some sweet little people that I will always remember. And they were nice class. You know, mm-hmm. They rolled with the whole situation really, really well. And I scored some really great potato head pieces out of it. So, you know, all told, it could have been a lot worse.
Thinking back to maybe the last couple of years, what's one of the biggest thing you've learned? Let's say the last year. What's one of the biggest thing you've learned over the last year?
Oh, well, this last year, I was making the transition from being a classroom teacher to supporting a growing nonprofit. You know, we estimate that within the next 6 years, by the time we add up all the kids that we will have mentored by 2020, we will have mentored more than 1 million students. And so those are two vastly different places to be. And I think the thing that I have learned most from making that transition is that it is okay to embrace something really big. You know, even mid-career, it's all right to step out and say, you know what, I want this experience, and to chase after it and to work for it and to stretch yourself and grow, that, you know, bigness is okay. And maybe it's because I fell in with a pack of Olympians, but I feel like I just, like, something big, you know, it was the right time for a big, big, big thing. And it was terrifying, you know, absolutely terrifying. But I will say that now that I work from my home, the quality of the toilet paper is better. You know, I feel more connected to my family, more connected to my home, and I feel really more connected to the educational world being out of the classroom, because before I became involved in Classroom Champions, I didn't know a single person who was a teacher outside of Portland, Oregon. And now my professional network spans all of North America. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my way, well, by the time this is broadcast, you know, I'll be back, but I'm on my way to Dominica this week to go present about Classroom Champions to teachers in a country that's very different from ours. Yeah. And I'm sure that they will react to it the same way that we do, you know, because kids need people who are invested in them.
So, Heatherly, the one question we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something that you are really passionate about right now?
Oh, I am really passionate right now about developing my skills with technology. One of the things that's interesting, and Todd's smiling at me through the camera here, because he knows, but 3 years ago when I started with Classroom Champions as a classroom teacher, so 2 years before he did, I had to dig a brand new, never been used projector out of my closet and plug it in so that I could even show the kids anything off the internet. And the reaction in my building was, why would you need to do that? They're kindergartners. You know, what are they going to do with technology? And my evolution in the classroom was pretty rapid. And now that I'm helping other teachers make that education leap, you know, in their own skills, because we have a lot of folks who come on board with Classroom Champions who have never reached out into being a connected educator and have not used, you know, things like video chats in their classroom. I want to be the very best leader for them that I can possibly be. And so I am really trying to amp up my tech knowledge. And, you know, I feel more confident now. Like, it used to be when I tried something with tech, it was just a good excuse to swear like a crab fisherman quietly while no one else was around. And now, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's see if this will work. And I'm always so overjoyed when it does. So now I'm, like, willing to be more brave and try more new things. So that's the thing that I'm passionate about, is I want to be the best leader for my teachers that I can possibly be, even if it means, like, expanding my own knowledge on this super rapid growth curve.
That's awesome. So, Heatherly, thanks so much for joining us tonight. How can listeners connect with you? You mentioned at the top of the broadcast, if we could just talk about your Twitter handle and maybe website again.
So my Twitter handle is @HLEPNW. And the Classroom Champions website, where all of those great free resources are, there's lesson plans, there's blogs, there's all sorts of good stuff, and as many mentor video lessons on the 10 topics that we teach as you can imagine. We keep them all up there because we never know which particular mentor is going to touch which particular kid or teacher or situation. That's all at classroomchampions.org. Champions is plural.
Awesome. And you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ. You can also find us on the web at EduAllStars.com. And then on iTunes, you can search out the previous 78 episodes now using EduAllStars with no spaces and find all those past episodes, including one with Steve Messler. And I think that was our first interview, Todd. I think our first one was with us, and then our second podcast was actually
Steve. He was our second podcast, but our first interview.
Yep, I think you're right. So cool.
And I listened to that one, and I listened to it sometime afterwards. Like, I did a little web search and thought, well, I wonder what he's been doing lately interview wise and that came up. He tells a story about my class in that interview.
That's what I thought when we were talking. I was like, I think that's the one Steve talked about with the kindergarten classroom.
Yeah.
That's so great. Well, we hope all of our viewers join us for our next episode as we interview Steven Anderson. So thank you again, Heatherly, for coming on. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time today.
All righty. Thank you, and goodbye.